The Bengals Beat podcast is proudly sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Now is the time to head out to the production works. It's where we've held our live BBPs. It's home to the incomparable madness that is the 50 West Punch-Out. The place is buzzing every night with sand volleyball leagues, canoeing, kayaking, cycling, trivia, running groups. It's all based out of the Pro Works down on Wooster Pike. You may even spot Optimistic Bobby preaching the Laser Cats gospel. Hope to see you soon at 50 West, where every beer is a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company.
Every week, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, that dumb fish who doesn't trust his gut, Paul Dana Jr., and Fletcher Page, take you inside the walls of Paul Brown Stadium.
We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast, presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Emergency BBP, you could say. You know, it's sort of a fun little hashtag that people like to throw around on Twitter, as we've done these over the years in big spots. Something happens, people always joke, emergency BBP. It's got to be pretty big to pull off the emergency BBP. However, today, Fletcher Page, emergency BBP.
Yeah, I was going to sound an alarm, but I don't want Sean Payton to smash me in the head with a helmet.
Yeah, if we are still in Paul Brown Stadium, so if an alarm goes off, don't worry. We know how to fix it. All right. You need is just take a helmet and just hammer that thing four times.
I bet that felt so good to smash that thing.
Dude, we have all wanted... When you have a smoke alarm or whatever that goes off in your house in the middle of the night, and Lord knows I've had this, everyone has wanted to do what Sean Payton did with that helmet.
I'm going to get a million emails that are going to be saying, you are taking fire alarm smashing too lightly. It's very important.
It is very important. This emergency is not the emergency of the fire department. This is the emergency of the Bengals doing what we said last night we thought they might do. It had that feel, and that is fire Terrell Austin. But so we've got a lot to get to with that. Just that alone is worth unpacking. However, the bigger gift given to all of us, Marv takes the wheel. Marvin Lewis plays the trump card that in 16 seasons he's never really played, and that is man who made his mark as defensive coordinator takes back over as defensive coordinator with a dual role. That is really, I think, what shocked me about Monday. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, Jesse Bates was 3 years old when Marvin was helping the Ravens win a Super Bowl as a defensive coordinator.
That's a while back.
It's been a minute.
So here's all that we're going to have to try to get into. And we're going to bring you a lot of Marv audio because this press conference was particularly interesting. Marv literally pointing himself in the face.
I made a GIF of it.
Yes.
I haven't put it on Twitter yet.
Literally pointing at himself in the nose, saying me. Point at me. And that is what this is. When we get to that, we're going to get into why Terrell Austin didn't work out and when it fell apart, how it fell apart. And then the storyline that we broke a lot, we spent a lot of time on 2 weeks ago, is back front and freaking center, and that's Hugh Jackson, who suddenly has a role to play here in Cincinnati, and judging by the head coach's reaction and answer to my question, it's already been done. In fact, as you're listening to this right now, because I can only record and post so fast, it probably is done. Hugh might be in the room next to us right now. Hugh! Are you in here?
I think you've been here too long today.
This has been a long day. This has been a long, long freaking day. So let's, all of those things to get to. Let's start with Terrell Austin first. So he lasts 9 games. Obviously, I mean, this is this. The Bengals go 49 years without firing a coordinator midseason, and now 2 in a row. Ken Zampezi 2 games in last year. Terrell Austin 9 games in this year. I don't know what has gone on and what has changed, where this is suddenly a thing that they do here, but it is, and they had no choice. And we talked about this a lot on the walkout last night. It felt like they had no choice, but you still wondered if they'd do it because they're the Bengals. But they really had no choice.
Right, and the point you made last night is, I think what we'll care, what the reason for all this happening is, everything is set up for this team to make the playoffs. I mean, it would be shocking if they didn't make the playoffs, given the schedule.
Right.
And so they had to make a move.
The defense has just had gone so far sideways, and you sense the players not believing. So Marvin sort of, basically said today that he felt, and I've heard from multiple people around the building, that you could tell, like, something was wrong, particularly yesterday, and that Marvin was spending more time over there. Marvin admitted he was spending more time working directly with the defense and not even paying attention to what else was going on in the field. So, you know, it was falling apart in front of our eyes. But really, let's go dial it back a few weeks to Pittsburgh, right? After the game, some sort of, what, the insanity quote from Carlos and the whole, like, oh, we ran the play that was called, all that stuff.
Right.
Cover zero.
That cover zero line got used a lot.
Yeah. You start there, the players started to turn on Terrell. And it showed. They did not believe in what was going on. They didn't.
Yeah, and the only thing that gave me some pause last night when talking about if they would make the move is that they had just gone through the bye week. So you'd think, well, use that bye week to do it then. And you know you're facing Drew Brees and the Saints. That's a tough ask anyway. But
yeah. And here's where I wonder about this. Why would you not do it at the bye week?
But that's sort of what gave me pause about them doing it today, if they hadn't already done it.
Unless you didn't want your first game to be against the Saints.
You'd rather it be against a rookie making his first career start in Baltimore?
Definitely. You'd definitely rather have to stop the Ravens than the Saints.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you're trying to make people believe that you can, that you're doing this. And you know, I'm positive there's other stuff at play. You know, it was, I mean, Sunday was clearly a step over the line on a team that's been habitual line steppers. Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy. But on a team that's been habitual line steppers, this was the step over the line that seemed unrecoverable, where it made you think that it had to happen. However, it's not like this just started and you had the bye week. You had the second half. If you didn't think Terrell Austin could turn it around, you should have known that then, and you have a much better chance of getting your ducks aligned and all that crap over that time. It almost feels like somebody didn't want their first game to be against the Saints if they were going to make that move. This is speculating on speculation. This is an opinion. But that's just so – it's odd.
It is, and I mean, going into the game, we talked about how it would probably be better for the Bengals to forfeit, take that 1-0 loss and move on.
We did.
I mean, basically, if, you know, you just push it forward and everything is the same, Everything is for the Bengals where it was before that Saints game in terms of what they've got to do to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, except they now have Marvin doing it. So Terrell, you know, it just never worked out. I'll say this personally, and we say this a lot about players when they get cut or traded or whatever. You know, our media interactions with them are sometimes genuine, sometimes very regimented, whatever. I found Terrell Austin to be a likable guy. In talking to players seem to find Terrell Austin to be a likable guy. Coaches seem to like him. People liked his presence. There was optimism about the new ideas that he was bringing in the building. People seemed to rally around that. There was a lot of thought that he might really be, you know, people thought this was another great Marvin Lewis hire. It didn't turn out that way. I mean, it's a production business, and the production dictates it. Personally, I thought I liked the guy, and I think a lot of people in this building did. But he's the scapegoat at this point for the defense playing like a poop sandwich.
Exactly, and I mean, obviously, there's a lot of excuses, explanations. I mean, injuries have hit both sides of the ball for the Bengals. But I think you're right, and I wish I would have thought a little bit more about this last night. But that cover zero Steelers call, it just feels like the whole thing is just they've just sort of been flailing out of control since then.
So Marv takes over. Here's where I want to bring in Marvin talking today, because some of the stuff we just talked about, some of the stuff we're going to talk about, but I want to dive into all of it. But I want you guys to be able to hear Marvin talking about a number of things, talking about why he did it, talking about things he noticed on the sideline, answering my question if he thinks this now, him fixing this defense, puts his job on the line, and then us having some pretty straightforward questions about Hugh Jackson that he smiles and denies. So here is Marvin Lewis from his dual Marv, cloned Marv, DC/HC press conference on Monday.
You've had to fire coordinators or assistants before. How hard is it, I guess, to look at someone and do that just because you work with them day in and day out and you obviously become friends with them?
Well, generally your relationship goes way beyond this, you know, today. So it's very difficult. And, you know, the easiest thing to do is to change somebody. The hard thing to do is try to help that person and get better. And I've tried very hard to be a resource, to be part of it, to be a resource. And it just, you know, wasn't fitting right. So I, you know.
With injury, there's trickle down. And you know, this with the removal of a coordinator in I guess your responsibilities change. Everybody has to do a little, so nobody has to do a lot because you're a man down kind of thing. How do you divide those responsibilities up?
We'll be fine.
Was Thanks for your concern. Tipping point, or did you consider this at all during the bye week?
I think, you know, just with the way things went on yesterday and so forth and you know, the sideline and so forth. I just, you know, it's just what we had to do.
By sideline, do you mean their demeanor and how they were acting?
Yeah, just our way we played and so forth.
Are you the defensive coordinator at this point, though?
Yes.
So what changes with you as defensive coordinator?
What changes?
Yeah, I guess how do you approach it versus how Terrell approached it?
Well, we you know, there's going to be change.
How much can you change schematically midstream, though?
I mean, we don't have to change schematically. I mean, we don't have to change schematically. We just have to change how we're, you know, things we're doing and make sure our players have a great understanding and so forth. So I don't think this is we're not overhauling anything. But I'm responsible ultimately for everything that goes on in this building, and I just felt like I would be letting everybody down, you down, the fans down, everybody down if we continue down that road, and that's the hard thing.
What ultimately was the problem? people talked about communication a lot.
Again, we're this is done, and we're not going to rehash it. Okay.
Coach, can you had a pretty successful run there with the kind of system you were using last year? Can you would it be easy to go back to what you were using last year, or do you have to build on what you got? Or?
Well, I don't know that the you know, again, the system hasn't changed a great deal. We just have to install with our players better. We have to understand, we have to get them to understand how to do their jobs better. And no matter who's in the game, they've got to do a better job of executing. And I think that's the important part. And it's unfortunate that Terrell's been the casualty of this. It's not all his fault, it's my fault. Anytime something happens wrong around this building, it's my fault, and I accept that.
There's never been a midseason coordinator change around here in 49 years, and now two straight years has happened. Has something changed around here that this is a thing that is happening now?
Well, I think I just have to, you know, I've got to make sure our players have every opportunity to win. I think that's important.
Their reluctance to do that in the past, or is that just these circumstances have been?
I can't, you know, it's hard for me to judge things in the past. That's not my concern. It's just, you know, what's today.
Do you think there's enough talent defensively to turn this thing around?
Yes. I think we will turn it around.
I guess what makes you so sure after how they've played that things are going to be different?
Because we have, you know, things that the details we need to do better. Consistently, that's the word.
Your message to the players today was probably pretty well received, you think?
Be careful what they wish for.
Do you feel like your own job is on the line if you can't get this turned around?
My job's on the line every day, Paul. But that's not a concern of mine, you know. That's not a concern, but the my job for this organization is to get the team to be world champions. That's my job. One goal is to be world champions. And the only way to get there is get in the playoffs, and the best way to get in the playoffs is win the division and then go from there. So those are our goals, and that's I've got sole responsibility for that to the organization.
How do you coach the defense and the team?
I got a plan. Just have to watch and see.
Do you need somebody to help come in and help you with some of those extra responsibilities?
Just have to watch and see.
Would that person be named Hugh Jackson?
Watch and see.
You said you want to rock the players' world, so obviously you want to get their attention. So what else are you thinking of doing or going to
do? We were 10 minutes late in here, right?
Yeah. Does that mean you are addressing them?
Yeah.
Do you feel like after that they seem to have bought in? I mean, can you?
Well, again, as I told the entire building, again, we had to make a change. Everybody in this building is responsible for that change. We're all part of it. So don't think, the first thing you do is change coaches. Next thing you do is change players. So ultimately, people look at them as well. So we have the opportunity to right our ship, play better on defense, be supportive of the offense, do what the defense jobs do, is let's get the ball back for the offense and without the other team scoring and as quick as possible. So that's the goal of defense. So we got to get back to doing that.
Was there any consideration to doing this during the bye week?
I'm not going to discuss, he said, she said.
You've got a relationship with these guys as the head coach. Does it change when you're the DC? What is it? You're going to be the same guy, or does it have to be?
I have a bigger, I have a role now that I didn't have, being a play caller, and I haven't had that, and that's huge, and so they all have to raise their level, and it's important that the offense raises their level, special teams raises their level, because there's an adjustment.
You think it'd be Rusty as a play caller?
I got to get it right. I don't got a chance to be rusty.
You've done it well before. I mean, is it like riding a bike,
Again, I don't have a chance to be, I got to do it right. We got to be good right now.
Is there any thought before the season to taking over both roles?
No.
Supposedly not.
No.
Why not? Is that just too...
Well, because a lot of things happen while you're on defense. You know, I had my back turned yesterday to the offense a couple times, you know, trying to bring the defense together. And things happen. It could be whether or not we made a catch or we, did we make a catch, did we not make a catch, did we make a first down, not make a first down. And if I got my back turned, I've got to make the decision. Are we going for it? Are we in four down territory? Bill, I've got to let Bill know, let the quarterback know he's got three downs here. You know, those kind of things. And if I have my back turned, making correction or whatever, I can't do that. So I'm going to try to minimize that as much as possible. But I'm going to have to make them. I feel strongly that I have to make the correction and coach the defense right now.
Is that different than a normal game? You specifically making those defenses?
It's a little different. I haven't had to do that a lot.
So why did that happen in this game?
I felt the need that I needed to.
Do you need to help? Do you need to change the makeup of the way the guys are deployed in the press box? Do you have to make it?
No, but their responsibilities just have to get. They have to grow, but I'm comfortable with that.
Did you feel like the you said on the sideline, the players? I mean, your coaches. You think everything felt a little off to you, off tackle?
Well, it wasn't off. This the guys want. I mean, they want help. Give me something. You know, you were a player. They want help. You know, help me through this. You know, and that's the thing. I got to be the rock. And so that's why, you know, I have to hide my feelings on the sidelines. You know, I don't choke anybody out or anything.
I guess as a play caller, it's probably something you do maybe every week when you talk game plan and stuff. I guess it's different when you got to make the call.
It's different. Yeah, it's different.
It's a different game since when you last...
We still got 11, Jeff.
Yeah. Do you have to kind of keep the players from pointing fingers at each other when things go badly?
Yes.
Did you see a lot of that yesterday?
No, I didn't, which was a good thing. But I addressed that last night in the locker room afterwards. There's one time to do that. They all can just squarely there. If they want to point at somebody, point at me. You know, that's what I tell them. And but they can squarely look at them, and we've just been through that with each and every one of them. You know, everyone in that room had their plays that they could have been done a better, nicer job on.
It's not unprecedented. I mean, you got head coaches calling plays offensively.
Well, it's different because in offense, most of the decisions are made. You know, most of the things happen on offense. You don't decide whether the offense is going for it on fourth down when you're calling the offense. You already did. But, you know, the defense doesn't decide where the offense is going for it on fourth down or so forth. So that's why you see fewer on defense.
How many successful cases can you remember of a head coach?
I don't know. I haven't determined that. But this one has to be successful for sure. I mean, Mike Zimmer's now done well with it. Mike's done well. Rex did it for a while.
Right.
And, you know, people that I know. So, but those are the hard points, and those are the things I've always talked to those guys about.
Called Zimmer this week and asked how he handles that?
He was asleep. He was traveling back from being here hunting. But
that's a conversation that will probably happen, right? No doubt.
Yeah. No, it obviously, you know, he's, you know, we've talked about it before and spent time talking about it, you know.
Okay, so there is a Marvin Lewis press conference time. That was a fun one. but here's the thing, like, unlike most press conferences and these things with Marvin, I mean, this was revealing. Like, there was a lot there to chew on. And so I want to start with what Marv has essentially done here, the big picture of this. By removing the scapegoat and removing the shield, Marvin Lewis has put it all on himself. If he can't fix this defense, the one thing he's supposed to be able to do, now granted, it's been a long time, but if he can't fix it, and it continues to go sideways, or cattywampus, as we discussed last night, there ain't no one to blame but him. And he is in the crosshairs. And inevitably, he has been for 16 years. But to do this really put you remove anybody else being able to take the fall. You have no longer have a fall guy. You have already hit the fall guy button. Fall guy gone. You know what happened to fall guy? You know what happened to Terrell Austin? Eaten by dinosaurs. Samuel L. Jackson. Terrell saw the blinking light and he went to go flip the switch across the campus. Eaten.
He gone.
Eaten by the dinos. That's what we said. Even though that blinking light was hope. A lot of people get eaten by dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. And that's what happened. That's where we're at. We're still, the fences are not alive yet. But Marvin thinks he has, knows the magic word. I feel like I can go on Jurassic Park references all year long, and I'm going to. That's going to be my thing. Are you okay with that?
I'm here for it.
Okay. This is now all on him. He said, oh, my job is on the line every day, Paul. You know? Yeah,
right.
It is. But to put this all on your shoulders like this and feel like you have to, I mean, it opens it up more, and this is far down the line, but yes, he's on a 2-year contract. Yes, we went through all of this crap last year, but if this team ends up continuing to go down the same path defensively, whether Marvin taking over, he's responsible for everything that happens in this building, Fletcher. You know that, right?
Yeah. Look, I don't think that this is really going to change anything wholesale, and I think the ceiling. We know what the ceiling for this thing is. It's a loss at New England or Pittsburgh in the wild card round. That's the ceiling here, right?
Correct.
And so the floor, though, now is it's getting a little shaky. And
right.
I think...
We thought we knew the floor.
We thought the floor was the ceiling.
The ceiling's the roof?
The ceiling is the roof. Yeah. And there is no goat.
No. So yeah, I mean you're right. The floor is where the cracks are happening.
Right.
You know, what if he can get some life out of this defense?
I think it has to get better because they're about to run through some teams that are not what they just faced the past 5 or 6 weeks. So it was going to get I think the help was on the way in terms of the schedule, mm-hmm. in terms of the attrition sort of maybe getting better.
Yeah, I mean, in the next few weeks, they're going to get Vigil and Denard and Perfect back, whatever that does for you. But more importantly, you're right. I mean, they faced, by points scored, they faced six teams that are in the top nine in points scored this year in their first nine games. I mean, six of their first nine games are against teams that are in the top nine in the league in scoring. They do not face a team in the top nine in scoring again until Pittsburgh in week 17. The Chargers have been pretty good. The Chargers are really efficient offense. They've been scoring points. That will be another. The Steelers and the Chargers are the only real true offensive threat teams that they're going to play the rest of the way out. It better get better.
Right.
Lamar Jackson better not light you up for 350.
No, that's if that happens. Next Sunday is the line in the sand.
We've been saying this Baltimore game has been it for a long time. I mean, this was the one that you had to have circled. You win this one, and then it's just, the path is so much easier. But, and I think that's where a lot of, if you notice Marvin with the, I don't have time to be rusty, we have to be good right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's just it. I think everyone recognizes the importance of Sunday. Forget New Orleans. Forget Tampa. Oh, they set themselves up for it there. In the division, chance to put away Baltimore. And now to do it with Marv calling plays for the first time since he did it once in 2004 when he told Leslie Frazier to take a break and they lost to Cleveland 34-17. Outside of that, he's never done this. I mean, it's been a long time since he's had to call plays. So, there's a lot to do. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how much difference it can really make. Maybe we'll see a significant difference. I don't know how much difference it can really make other than the teams that are about to play are not as good.
Right.
It's just you're calling the plays. It's the same guys.
It's going to be 4-3 same
scheme. Maybe they'll be out there running more press man, which we've been saying they need to do. They've got guys that can cover. They need to go cover with those dudes. Let them go cover. You can run a little bit more of certain types of defense. You can play some certain guys a little bit more, although Marv had control over that anyway. That's just it. It's not right. Like he hasn't had control over this stuff. It's his freaking team. You can scapegoat guys all you want. Oh, I tried to help him. It's your team, man. And you know, that's what I'm saying. This is where it's just there's nobody else to blame. And I feel like there's always a lot of the crap running downhill around here. Right?
Now they're on level surface.
Yeah, right. It's just, again, I keep going back to the finger pointing at the nose. That's the gif. You know? That's what this move does. He said, all on me. If you're the man, he's got to go prove it. Okay. At this point, everyone needs a beer.
Yes.
And if you want to drink a beer, you know what's a good one to have? You need a good 50 West in your hand.
That's right.
Coast to coast. Maybe go down there, get a home sweet home. Any number of their delicious fall beers that they've got brewing down there. Get you a beer in your hand. Drown your sorrows about how awful and historically atrocious this defense has been. And just slam them. Just, this is not a time for sipping.
I need the boot. And Das Boot.
Das Boot. Fill Das Boot with some Doom Pedal and throw it down. That's the way to go right now. But make sure you get down to 50 West, the production works. As you know, we love them down there. Optimistic Bobby. I bet Optimistic Bobby's optimistic about that. I'm going to holler at him. He's going to be on Thursday. Got that coming. I got some other goodies for you in the Deuce this week. I had to push back some of the goodies since we're in this sort of emergency mode. So goodies push back. I'm going to have multiple goodies for you on Thursday on the Deuce.
I'm excited.
Keeping it secret. I know what they are. You don't. I hold the power. All right. Hugh. I think it's already done. I think it's been done. And I think it's part of why Marv did this. There you go.
How deep do you want to get into like the conspiracy or the? I feel like there's a lot. There's a long way that you can play out some of these narrative storyline.
Let's go wildest conspiracy theory that you can think of. I've got my wildest, but you start.
Hugh Jackson, Bengals head coach, 2020.
Oh yeah, that's not that wild. That feels inevitable at this point. Maybe even next year. Maybe even next year. It's setting that up. Here's the wildest conspiracy theory. Hugh Jackson has always been a Bengals infiltrator on the dark side who took that job to basically still be working for the Bengals, tank the Browns to go 336-1 over a course of 3 years, start fights that he knew could get him fired, get fired, come back, help the Bengals beat the Browns a couple more times.
And then take over.
Rather than be coach in waiting originally, he was placed as a mole inside the Browns in Cleveland to be working it from both sides. And now he's going to come back as the right-hand man of Marv to help put the Browns down even further with two games against them. Again, four of their last seven games are against division teams who Hugh has already played, planned for, and two of those against a team that he's been inside of for the last 2.5 years.
It's pretty elaborate.
Maybe it's a stretch.
It's a lot of work.
Maybe it's a stretch. But I will say this. To me, if you're Marvin and you're sitting here thinking, okay, I could fix this defense, but I can't fix the defense and be the defensive guy and still coach this team. Like I need this, so there's too much going on. But I got Hugh out there. He knows how to be a head coach. He knows how things operate here. He knows what I'm comfortable with. I know I can work with him immediately, riding a bike style. Tandem bike.
Dude, we need to get that on a tandem bike meme. Marvin and Hugh.
Marvin and Hugh on the tandem bike together. Bengals Twitter, our BBP really Twitter has been so damn strong lately.
I appreciate you guys.
Dude, they came strong with the pinkies. They came strong with the radon stuff.
You needed it.
They got you the win. They got you the win. So props to them this week. Marv and Hugh on a tandem bike.
Yeah, somebody get on that.
Yeah. That's what we need this week. You will get retweeted often.
I've got a guy that I use for Photoshop purposes. I dabble a little bit in that, but I have a guy that I've used for years, a friend of mine I grew
Gift
up
guy.
With. I just send him the original pics. I say, here's what I need. He gets it back to me real quick.
Boom.
Tweeted.
We need that. You will get retweeted if you send us a good one. Assistant
quick.
To the head coach.
Right. The only concern, I guess, I every time I put this out there, I talk to anybody about it, I say, well, why not? Even Carlos Dunlap said, hey, he was good for us here. Why not? Why not? It's, I guess people are a little worried about the security for Bill Lazor.
Bill Lazor not be worried.
Seems like a confident guy.
In this scenario, he will have a lot. I don't think that his input, maybe there will be some on the offensive side of the ball, but, I mean, it's mostly to work with. It would be, I mean, this is the scenario that we're making up. Maybe he is making a couple of, I think he's more monitoring the role of the head coach. You know what I mean? In game. This is not overseeing the offensive game plan. You know, I that's not how.
Yeah, we're talking about challenges.
Stuff like that. That's what Marvin was
referring to. Whether to go for it on 4th-and-2 from the 43.
Keeping an eye on what's going on the, you know, and while Marv is with the defense talking to them during portions of the game.
Right.
Monitoring. Maybe it is some play calling. Maybe it is some challenge type stuff. Maybe it would, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it is some of being in Bill Lazor's ear about, hey, we're going to be ready to go for it here or whatever. Maybe that is part of it. But I get that, but I'm just saying that's what's going to happen. I mean, that it makes too much sense, and I think that was all part of the plan. It's the way that Marvin knew that he could take over the defense. Because, you know, the thought was, well, what about Jim Haslett? Jim Haslett, I believe, did not have interest in being a coordinator. Now, will he be doing a little bit more now? Probably, and during the week and some of that stuff. And yeah. He's the only guy with the real experience. I mean, he's been a coordinator head coach for 18 years in this league, one of those two positions. So he's done it. But I don't think that he's in that part of his career where that's something he has interest in being doing. So Marv takes it over. But that takes away from doing other stuff. And if he says, I got my guy, Hugh, there's probably nobody else in the world that he would trust to do that with him. And he's available. And he wants to get back in the league, as he's told every sports talk show outlet in America. Inevitable. I predict we get the release Wednesday at 10:58 a.m.
Yeah, and if you're Marv, I mean, what is he? He's in his 61. He's in his 60s. He's been here for 16 years. He's been doing the football life for 30-plus years. What? Bring in one of your best friends. Watch some film.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. Hang out.
But the thing is, I'm talking out two sides of my mouth here. I realize that. But, boy, it wasn't good on game day in Cleveland. So you don't want him taking too much of the responsibility. I have no problem with you working together or whatever. But you better not fall. I mean, let's not act like Marvin's been some sort of game management genius around here.
Dude, is this how it's always been for you covering this beat? Because I've only been here, since September, but this is some wild stuff here we're talking about. Is it always like this?
It's always like this. It's always something like this. I mean, this is a bit, what's happening right now is a bit extreme. A bit extreme. Last year, it was reported Marv was gone in mid-December. Gone. And he had said he was gone. Three games left. They found out on the bus ride to the stadium against Minnesota. And then he begged us not to ask any more questions about it in the press conference on Monday. And then he came back.
Hey, they're still making Jurassic Parks, too.
This stuff has been going on here forever. Hugh! Hugh, are you here? We've been here too long, brother.
Hey, they're still making Jurassic Parks, too.
They are. I want to be in one. Maybe Hugh's in it. Hugh! You in Jurassic Park? Oh, we have gone off the rocker here on the PvP. Anyway, that we don't have that yet, but I have the ability to connect the dots, play Connect Four, play Love Connection, anything that involves connecting. You ask Marvin, he says, I have a plan, watch and see. Is that plan Hugh Jackson? Big smile, watch and see. I don't need to know anymore.
Ambiguous affirmative.
Yeah. There's one way. If he wasn't doing that, he would want to put that fire out right now.
Certainly. Yeah, it's an easy way to put an end to the Austin rumor. Say no. There's an easy way to put an end to the Hugh rumor. Say no. Didn't do it.
Didn't do it because that is the plan. That was the plan. That is the plan. Period. All right.
How about that offense?
That's it. It was brought up at one point today. Like, yeah. Are we going to get Bill Lazor? And I'm just like, who cares? Right. Another day. Save that one for another day. Because Lord knows they aren't without warts over there. But, you know, we'll get to that another day. All right, here's a good one for you. Over the span of the final seven games of the season, the Bengals defense ranks blank in yards allowed per play and ranks blank in points allowed per game.
You're just going to spring that one on me?
Spring. It's been sprung.
I think they'll be between... it's hard to go specifics with stats, but I think they'll be in like that 15 to 20, 23 range.
Yeah.
But like I said, I don't think that they're going to be dramatically better. I just think they're going to be in more advantageous situations.
They are. I mean, yeah, they are. There's no doubt about that.
I'm saying they're going to move from 32 to like 21.
Just over that span, 21. Yeah.
Just for that span, not... Right.
Yeah. It's okay. Not going to change. They'll still finish the season in around 30, probably. I think they'll stay in the bottom quarter.
Do you?
I mean, even though it gets easier, they've just been so wretched. And I just don't know that play calling is going to make that big of a difference. Or,
well, we keep getting questions like, you know, could you see some personnel changes or is there anything? I don't see that.
Marvin's in charge of personnel. Right. Like, maybe the way some of the guys are used in what they're doing. But if Marvin wanted a certain guy playing more, that's his call. And that's been his call on offense and on defense.
Right. And, you know, given Carl Lawson had just gone out, too, kind of affects us. But, you know, Sam Hubbard, Jordan Willis, they're already playing more snaps than Michael Johnson.
A lot of these guys, they don't have choices on
it. Right, so they were already ramping up and getting more snaps as it is. So.
And Marvin's got to prove he has any understanding of modern-day NFL offense.
That's a good point. The game has changed
a little
bit.
It's very different now than it was, and he joked, you know, there's still 11. Yeah, they're not playing the same way they were back in 2000. And obviously he's been a head coach and he understands the trials and tribulations of all that. But I don't know. All right. Where else do we need to go? Hugh! Are you here yet?
Dude, I think you've had the radon.
I've got the radon. So we should properly shout out everybody that sent, the Pinky people, the Radon people, they showed up in full force last week after you made your apologies to the Pinky Toe community in the radon community, but they, you know, they fought back for you.
Listen, I know evolution's working against the pinky finger, but I have been convinced that, like pinky toes, pinky finger is important, especially for the musicians out there.
Oh, yeah. And people like us that type.
Yeah. You know, I'm more of a 3-finger typer. Or 6. I use 6 fingers.
You're a 3?
I don't get to the pinky. I don't use the pinky to shift or anything.
You don't use the pinky?
I don't know.
Is that what happens in Towns County?
I'm a county person, so I didn't.
In the county, they don't use the pinkies to type?
You've got all 4 fingers rocking.
Wow.
On each hand when you type.
At least you're not a, I'm rocking everything. Not to mention the work my thumbs are doing down low. That's right. My thumbs are banging the space bar.
Okay, you're a thumb space bar person. That's interesting.
You should be. That's what the thumb is there for. You got to use all your fingers. That's how you type with real speed.
Got to change that intro though, since we did hit the over.
Fair enough. You're right. The intro will get altered. And congratulations to you on that. We'll figure out what the next one will be going forward. I think there's some interesting things to dig into. I feel like a total yards against for Sunday will be a very interesting one to see. We'll see where we land on the deuce once we really dig more into that. Because it may still be Joe Flacco. We don't know. We will find out that. Have you Googled Kanye today?
Yes.
Today
so,
and Kanye.
Kanye and Kim Kardashian West hired private firefighters to save their home from wildfires, and they saved some of their neighbors' homes as well.
God, they're just such good people. Just good people. Good, genuine souls.
Yeah, that's where you know you're on a different level. That's the difference between being wealthy and rich and just normal, when you can hire your own private firefighters. Yes. I'm over here complaining about like $700 radon mitigation. They're like, let's bring the firefighters over.
No. I love the like, oh, Kanye and Kim Kardashian West evacuating in Los Angeles. Yeah, them and everyone else. Can we talk about like a 500,000 people that were evacuated? Mm-hmm. But no, let's focus on Kim and Kanye and what they're up to. Hiring personal firefighters is what they're up to.
If I wasn't so dehydrated, I think I've had so much coffee. There's a Sean Payton joke here about fires, but I'm out of them. I don't have the mental capacity.
Oh, Sean Payton, who... I mean, he's like, look, I'll pay for it. I feel bad about that. I just needed the noise to stop. There was a fire in the concession stand that set off the alarm, and it was going off for about 15 minutes in the stadium inside the Saints locker room. They were trying to get prepped. Sean cracked.
He did. But what I like about impatient people are people that respond negatively in situations like that. He only made it worse for himself, because as a response, whenever a fire alarm is tampered with, the firefighters have to go to that spot.
They have to.
So now they're trying to get into the locker room.
And now they're trying to come to your
right
spot.
Right in your spot.
So it was funny, like, people were all like, well, the Bengals alerted the authorities. Well, no. Sean Payton alerted the authorities. Because they know this is, I mean, there's decent technology happening in this county stadium.
That's right. It's an automatic
it's
response.
It's an automatic response.
So now you got firefighters mixed and mingling in your locker room.
Right. So
asking
all that,
questions.
Like, asking questions. Wanting to know what's going on. Oh, that's when in like 5 years, when we look back and laugh at the ridiculousness of this whole weekend and today and everything, that will be the funniest part. That was the same weekend that Sean Payton busted up the fire alarm. Like, man, just ridiculous. This loop is the gift that keeps on giving sometimes.
Yeah, that was an interesting post game. I came down, and sometimes, you know, I don't always want to say things out loud in front of all the press people. You know, we have a good relationship with everybody on the beat, but I came down, I was like, you heard something about Sean Payton in the locker room. And then I look down next to you, and I'm not throwing you under the bus. there's like a half-eaten pizza crust on the ground.
That was not me.
It wasn't you, but it was just something else I had to process. I was like, the Bengals are giving up 500-plus yards, three straight games.
And there's a half-eaten pizza crust on the ground.
And Sean Payton smashed something.
You just can't even make that stuff up. You just can't. That's where we're at. All right, we need to wrap this because we've been here clearly. If you haven't learned this by this point in the podcast, we have been here too long today. Check everything out at Cincinnati.com. There are like four different stories up. You've got players reacting and Marvin talking about their daubers being down on the sideline. And I've got this story from Marv about all the things he's trying to do. I've got a story about Hugh Jackson and his potential, maybe already, return as you listen to this on your treadmill or in the car or whatever. Obviously, this podcast up. You can look at how smart we sounded if you want to go back and listen to the walkout from Sunday night when we were like, I think this might be happening. This one felt like it might be happening.
You were more on it than me. I was still skeptical it was actually going to happen.
I was definitely skeptical, but I will say it had that feeling that something was happening there. But anyway, it's all there. Video of Marvin at the press conference is up if you want to watch some of his reactions. All of that stuff is there. We have Beyond the Stripes will be posted later this week. We'll have more conversation there. We'll bring Doc and Lindsay into the fold. Lots to come, and a massive week that started with a bang here at Paul Brown Stadium and will end with a bang of us eating a whole lot of crab in Baltimore, which I'm very excited about. But anyway, keep it locked there. Congratulations to Fletcher on getting the open changed. And that is a shout out to all of BBP Twitter. We love you so much for all that you listen. And those of you, the hardcores, the diehards that listen to the end of the podcast. For Fletcher, I'm Paul. Hugh, do you want to sign off? Are you good? He's good. We'll talk to you later.